Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
If you are working from home, actually, if you're at the kitchen table or you're in your office at home today, this is going to be of interest to you. Staff who only want to work from home face the prospect of lower pay and benefits. And it's because employers are increasingly trying to get staff back to pre-COVID work practices. This survey from Meridian West show 55% of Irish employers have said that they were very likely to introduce different pay and benefits for people who attended the office regularly compared to those who really want to work completely remote. Rob is with us on the line in Waterford today. Rob, is this the right move? Penalise staff who want to work from home?
I'd be giving them more money if they want to work from home, Andrea, because it comes down to productivity. Give them more because they're doing more benefit to towns rather than penalise them. Essentially, as an employer, you could say, well, if you're productive and you're happy, you're contributing to society back in towns. And they're seeing, like you're seeing it, Andrea, from post-COVID, where's the biggest growth from the CSO? It's happening in towns. Places like Cashel Group, 9%. In just a year. So Tremor, near us, 6% population growth in a year because people are moving back. Why would you disincentivize people to work from home when actually they're probably more productive and happier and more likely to getting a job? I mean, I know there was headlines about Amazon, but Amazon are a tiny employer. Let's try and help the SMEs who are 1.2 million people and repopulate towns that are last week we had record levels of vacancy in commercial buildings. So you're on Donegal. It's 45 years to get a home if you're a job creator up in Donegal. So why not just repopulate the towns and villages with young people first, then pander to an employer that's just 0.2% of jobs in Ireland?
Yeah,
you know, tax credit. Like, give you a tax credit, Andrea, to go and work in Donegal instead of having to commute in. We do that. We have enough cash. We have 330 billion cash in deposits. We don't know what to do with it. Stop the nervous Nancys in Kildare Street from saying, you got to move back. I would go, actually, the numbers, the data saying towns are repopulating. Why stop that?
So the so you think we should even go, you know, full circle on this, the total opposite, Rob, and actually pay the people who are working from home more?
If they're working from home and it's more productive because you can track productivity, it's a trust thing. So the good businesses will go, okay, well, you're more productive and great. You're there for SMEs at a huge advantage because they can be more nimble than an American employer bringing in practices that might not necessarily work for Ireland. Because again, we have huge amounts of, it is ultimately the talent, the young people. And if we listen to them, I would also go, they're asking businesses, well, bring the voice of the young people into this. There's 1.3 million young that don't own, of 2 million people now aged 18 to 44. Bring them into the conversation and say, what do you think of this? Because ultimately, businesses don't survive without young people.
Yeah, so but there's obviously a reason, though, that 55% of employers want staff back into the office.
Yeah, there is. But I'd like to see the breakdown of how many of them are MNCs, how many of them are Dublin-based, because Dublin has, and it's not Amazon's fault or it's not the big employer's fault. When you look at first-time buyer rates in Dublin city centre, there was just 50 in the whole year last year. So what, you're trying to create thousands of jobs in the city core, but your first-time buyer's planning policy is not to give them jobs. So I would go, don't do that until you've fixed inept plans at the moment for going proactively put in the infrastructure, the creches, the homes, the vacant, and they but ask the young people.
Yeah, and the other stuff. They counted 101 responses. This is from Irish employers, variety of sectors. That's who they surveyed. Technology, financial services and e-commerce. That's who they spoke to for this survey.
There's 500,000 SMEs, so the sample size is questionable. And then I'd like to see how much of them are Dublin versus outside the pale.
Okay,
being blunt, but from a positive, like you've already seen that. Like if I look at what's already happening, Mayo. I'll give you a small example of something brilliant relating to that. Mayo have just council do something called a matchmaker scheme. I don't think many other councils do it. So they link jobs and vacant back to potential employers. This offers a free service. But Mayo, the last 2 years, has seen a 50% growth in their young moving back there. the rest of the country has seen a decline in population of 18 to 44. So if Mayo's working, the data shows the data, why aren't we looking at data-driving policies? That's my view.
Larissa Feeney is the founder and CEO of Kinnor. Larissa's with us on the line today. What's your approach to remote working, Larissa?
Hi, Andrea, and hi, Rob. So our approach to remote working is we are a remote-first firm. So that means that all of our team work remotely, about 25% in the northwest of the country and the rest throughout the island of Ireland, and a small team in South Africa and a small team in India. And essentially, Andrea, what that means for us is that we've created a model that we call intentional remote working, because remote working is hard and harder than in-person working. And I can understand in many ways why the survey is reporting that 55% of employers want people back in the office as such, because it is harder to work remotely. So we've had to put a lot of time and budget into making sure that remote working works for us. And that means developing processes and systems. But essentially, really what it means is bringing people together. So in the old in-person environment, we would have built those relationships informally, of course, over the water cooler, having cups of coffee. We have to be very intentional about those, what used to be informal interactions now. And we have to build that into our calendar. So essentially, at the start of every year, we build out our in-person get-togethers across different teams, across departments and company-wide, and we build them out for the whole 12 months.
So do you think the idea, I suppose, effectively of employers, you know, applying a kind of a penalty, like a financial penalty for staff who work from home or whose desire is to work from home, what's the impact of that on productivity?
Working from home has been proven to be more productive than in-person working. Remote working has been proven to be more productive. So I would agree with Rob in many ways that those employees who work remotely should actually be incentivized to work remotely, because it's better for business. It's better for results, for business results. It's better for margins. And it's better for efficiencies. Where it's difficult is in that collaboration and the creativity space. And that's where we have to intentionally build that into our calendar to make sure that that happens.
What about you, Barbara? Do you think this is a good move?
I don't, because I think, to agree with both of the other callers there, I think it's short-sighted. You know, I mean, I think hybrid working is and remote where possible is the future. It doesn't always suit every business, depending on the type of business it is. But I think putting people in cars on the roads, in single occupancy cars, you know, driving distances, morning and evening, getting home, that has an impact in itself on productivity. It's not good sustainable-wise for the environment going forward, and businesses have to consider this. And I don't think we're fully out of the woods yet when it comes to pandemics. So you know, businesses need to now be able to pivot if there is another pandemic or such like again in the future. I just think also for people's wellness, it's much better that people have ability to start working at home, finish at home. You know, it's better for their family life. I think it's better for their own kind of time in the evening time. You know, you get home from commuting, you're exhausted. You're not going to want to do anything in most places. Even today, listening to Pat Kenny's show earlier on, talking about the cost of housing in Dublin again and increasing that into the commuter belt. Again, you're putting people into cars on the road and trying to kind of move into the cities. And I think a lot of businesses they're trying to justify their investment in their buildings and their infrastructures. And I think, you know, we're in a digital age, and the young people coming up now will not necessarily want to work in the same way that people have done, you know, since the 40s and 50s. And I also think that, you know, it's time that businesses start to kind of be a bit more, you know, again, asking that their staff what's best for them, because there is obviously the element of people collaborating together. But you go to most offices nowadays, how many people do you see sitting there with headphones on? You know, people spending hours and hours in endless meetings that are kind of mostly unnecessary. And I think remote working sharpens up everything, that when you need to have a meeting, you need to have a meeting. And when you need to collaborate, you arrange to collaborate. And people then can be more productive and do their work in between. Yeah. You know, I don't see that it's, you know, and I've worked for years in office, and I much, much prefer working from home. I find I'm not interrupted as much. And when you have a call with somebody, it's purposeful.
It's funny, isn't it? I often wonder, is it sort of personality suited too? I haven't really worked from home that much. I mean, a few days during the pandemic, but I could count on one hand the number of days I've worked from home, and I didn't particularly enjoy it. So, like,
yeah, well, there is that, of course, is that, and I think that's where sometimes hybrid working comes in, and of course, there's an element of that, you know, meeting colleagues and developing relationships, but you know, if you have to balance that with a 2 hour commute, a 3 hour commute every day, I think, you know, that suddenly loses its shine for a lot of people. I mean, you go on the M7 or any of the motorways around Ireland, look into the car of people in the morning. Do you see a happy person sitting there behind the wheel? I think the stress of driving in the morning.
Yeah,
is that
I know it's a fair point. Do you find, yeah. Larissa, I know you're sort of an exclusively, you're an online business. Is that what the younger staff and employees are looking for now?
Andrew, we have a retention rate that's 95%. And we have no issues recruiting. So our team are professionals. They're mainly accounting and finance professionals. And this industry has been incredibly difficult to recruit in for the last number of years. And we don't have an issue recruiting. And that's because the employee wants the flexibility and they want the freedom to work where they want to work from. For all the reasons there that Barbara listed out. And that's what we're finding, that people want that. So I think it's the responsibility of business to respond to those needs, and that's what we've been doing.
Text in here from someone who says, hang on for a moment, we're all being constantly criticised about being more environmentally friendly. Remote working eliminates thousands of cars and commutes, so businesses should be penalised and have to pay a carbon tax if they want to require staff to attend unless it's absolutely essential. John Voy is the General Manager of Grow Remote. John, do you think... Well, is it fair to punish people who want to work from home?
So, hi, Andrea, absolutely not, in our opinion. And just to, I suppose, reiterate what some of the previous callers said, like, the research shows that, productivity and effectiveness of remote workers is equal or better than going into the office. So I think we all know at this stage, like, remote work is what you do. It's not where you do it. So that would be our starting point on this.
Do you see companies bringing in a rule like this? I mean, this survey from Meridian West is talking about 55% of employers here in Ireland who want to offer less pay and benefits.
Really not. We'd see the opposite. We know that there's a much greater demand for remote jobs than supply in the market, and in an era of almost full employment, like, people bringing in a move such like this, it's a very risky strategy in terms of possibly losing staff, unless actually it's like a covert voluntary redundancy methodology, wanting people to leave. And also just to comment on the report, I think as far as our piece of research showed, that this report was funded by JLL, who was a real estate services firm, who obviously have an agenda to encourage people back to offices. So I think, like, there's a lot of data in this space, and it all needs to be analysed because there's a lot of agendas behind the data.
Yeah, I know. Look, and I accept that. I know Rob was talking about the survey sample too. I suppose, you know, irrespective of that, it's still interesting and a worthy talking point, and in light, too, I suppose, of Amazon just last week telling staff that they expect workers to come into the office 5 days a week now from next year. Caroline Reedy is from the HR suite. Caroline, is this a sort of a similar policy we're likely to see now from other companies?
I think there are certain types of companies that feel they need to see people more, but I think they're the minority overall. I think the whole concept, we're in full employment in Ireland at the moment. It's never been more an employee market. And if you can get a comparable job that allows you to work remotely, and then all of a sudden you're being told, no, no, you must go back into the office. People are going to speak, you know, in volumes, because they're going to change to companies that will allow them to do remote if they can get a comparable job to do remote. And I think we're seeing that across the board. I think people don't mind if it's, I must go in for a specific purpose because it's meaningful, but just to be in the office, to be seen in the office, I think that's a real big issue. And I think a lot of people are seeing the benefits of saving in terms of office space, in terms of people being more loyal, people are more likely to stay. And I do think the future of work is going to be very much focused on some in the office, but it's going to be primarily still focused on very much remote.
Listener here makes the point, I think employers should give extra benefits to those working in offices, cover the cost of the commute, pay for the hours spent commuting. No problem. All we have to do is submit the receipts, and I think that seems quite fair. There's no basis for cutting pay for those working from home, though. As your caller says, we do need people in jobs outside of Dublin, Cork and Galway. The idea that was mentioned by Robin and Larissa a little bit earlier, Caroline, you know, about offering higher financial salaries, rewards for people who take up jobs in smaller towns across the country. Is there merit in that?
Yeah, I think that it shouldn't, like if you're doing the job, so say for example, your job is to be in Dublin one day a week or your job is to be in Dublin 4 days a month or whatever it might be. I don't think it makes sense that you're saying, well, I'm going to, you need to tell me what your error code is and basically we'll pay you less if you're outside the Dublin commuter belt, for example. I think that the cost of the job is the cost of the job, and the person then decides, will I live there or will I commute there? Once they can be there, I don't think that becomes a barrier. But ultimately, what we are seeing is people are earning really good salaries right across Ireland in locations that they choose and want to live, where they have a lovely quality of life, more accessible childcare, better maybe extracurricular activities on the doorstep like beaches, surfing, golf, etc., whatever they might want. And they might have to go to Dublin one day a week or they might have to, you know, do a couple of days. But overall, it's a win for them, you know. So I think
it is. But I know other people will say, though, it's pushing up the house prices. Like if you take somebody on a Dublin, you know, six figure salary who's now in the past 2 years moved to a small rural town anywhere in the country with a population of about 1,500 people. The house price is there now all of a sudden. There's a whole bidding war that takes place in that.
I think, though, overall, we're seeing that this is helping these hubs around the country, is really helping business in those towns and making them more vibrant. Like a lot of schools in rural Ireland haven't enough kids. You know, the coffee shop, the, you know, the local shop, etc. They're all, there's a real domino effect that's really helping them. And, you know, we're seeing that the typical days, even around Dublin, people are in the office Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if they are office bound. And we're seeing that coffee shops and the likes are changing their opening hours and changing their staffing, etc. to suit that as well.
Text though here, though, from a listener who says, I actually think that remote working is killing cities. It's a choice now that we have to make between vibrant cities or remote working.
Yeah, and definitely I see it myself like that. You know, if you're commuting today, it'll be a lot quieter than if what it will be tomorrow, because, you know, most businesses, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are their office days. Mm. And even I noticed that in coffee shops, a lot of them have started to open those days. And, you know, the focus is different. But the good thing is businesses are responding proactively. So they're capitalizing and managing their costs in line with what's becoming a new future work.